Hey, everybody, this is Pookie. I hear from my sister Debbie that my little nephew Bryce been telling everybody about his Uncle Pookie, and I don't appreciate that, him exploiting me like that. Now, yeah, I do sell his CDs, you know, he got a couple of them. Pull Up is available now, but you know, that's not all Uncle Pookie do. Okay, if you need your carburetor fixed, I can fix your carburetor. You need your oven fixed, I can fix your oven. If you need some brakes put on your car, I can do that too. I do it all. I do it all. I spend some time in the big house, but my nephew didn't write me. He writing all these people in prison. He ain't write me when I was there, but I still support him. You know, that's my baby boy. But this is Uncle Pookie. Just want to let you know what the holiday season coming up. I just want to let y'all know I've got dog leashes. Came across a couple of them meeting up with my friend Tony. And, you know, I got them too. So whatever you need, I got them too. And you are now listening to the Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
And what's poppin', everybody? I am Bryce Isaiah, your host of the Purple Pants Podcast. If you are listening now, I am forever grateful because you know we go together. But make sure if you're listening, if you could please subscribe to this podcast, if you could rate us, and if you could give us a review, we would be forever in your appreciation. Hey, what's poppin'? Y'all hear my Uncle Pookie? Listen, my family is crazy. I be trying to tell y'all. But what's been going on? What's up? What's popping? What y'all been up to? Halloween was last week. I seen your costumes. Everybody was looking flizzy. You know me, busy as a bee. This weekend was so crazy for me. I had so much going on, so much to do, caught up with work, and just everything. And you know, with Halloween, you know your baby boy had to do it up big. So I've been telling you guys about this party from 6-8 events, and it was the 70s theme party, and so I was so excited. And you know, I don't know if y'all saw my Instagram, but listen, I had to show on out. So y'all know I went to South Africa to support the Nailady Christian Academy. Me, a bunch of other survivors, Desi, Ramona, Wendell, Tina, Jill. We met Nick, aka Jack, who was a friend of the show, and I had such a great time. The experience was amazing. And while we were traveling throughout South Africa, at one of the places, I think Desi in an earlier episode called it luxury huts. You know, we went to sleep in a hut, woke up, it was all these zebras outside our hut. And I was just so fat. I never been so close to a zebra. So I had told Ramona when we were climbing Mountain Lion's Head in Cape Town, I said, Ramona, I think for Halloween, I want to be a zebra. Ramona looked at me and was like, you crazy. But no, I was serious. And then when I found out that there was a Halloween party and it was a 70s theme, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to mesh? What I'm going to do? I said, you know what? I'm going to be a 70s zebra. And that's what your baby boy did. I turned it on out. Oh my God, it was so much fun. It was a lot, you know, walking to the party. And then I needed a makeup artist because, you know, I had to get my face painted like a zebra, but all of the good makeup artists were available. So shout out to my brother, Wendeezy. He came through with the face paint. We did like an Instagram live over the weekend. If any of you guys caught it, it was epic. I was a little nervous because Wendell was like, I can do it. And I'm like, oh, God, well, I'm going to just be looking crazy. But no, he really did his thing. You know, I hate on Wendeezy a lot, but I got to give him his credit because he made the zebra come through. Okay, zebra had a little body on. Okay, zebra had a little tail. Okay, I was at that party shaking her little tail. Okay, listen, the party was so much fun. But we got a jam-packed episode, okay? We can't be... We got a lot to cover. Here, this week's episode, you know, we got the church announcements. This week on the menu, we have Survivor Talk. We have Teresa and Joe, Judice. We've got The Prodigal Son. Y'all better did your homework, okay? We have Housewives. Housewives of Atlanta aired this week or last night or yesterday or tomorrow or whenever you hear it. And then, you know, baby boy, boy got to give you some love after lockup updates. I've got my purple pants picks, and we got a really, really good advice with Bryce. So let's get right on into the church announcement. So last episode, I told you guys about my seasonal affective disorder that I self-diagnosed myself with, just because with the seasons changing, my attitude, my mood, I don't really want to do anything. And a lot of you guys reached out and were like, oh my God, I suffer from the same thing. Yes. And I was giving you coping skills, but I got a DM from a friend, a member of the Purple Pants Posse, Jake, on Instagram, the Ned 87, hit me up. He ain't sent me no message. He sent me a little video. He sent like, 13 videos back to back to back. But shout out to Jake. I loved it. He was describing to me that he also suffers from that. Wait a minute. Wait. We halfway down the church announcements. Let me wet my whistle. Hold on. I'm sorry. Little coffee, just brighten me up a little bit. I got my Southern Pecan from International Delight, okay? Ooh, it's so good. So tasty. So anyway, where was I at? So Jake hit me up, said that he suffers from it, and that he actually, when he went to one of his therapy sessions during the wintertime, his therapist had recommended him getting a sad light. Now, I said a sad light. I don't want no sad light. I need a light that's going to make me happy. But basically, what the sad light is, he ordered it off Amazon. He told me about it. I looked it up this weekend when I saw it, and I actually ordered it. So when it comes in, I post it on my Instagram and I'll talk about it here. But what it's supposed to do is it like mimics, mind you, and it's in my budget. It's like $39.99. So it the rays or the light bulb that's in it, it kind of mimics the sunlight. And so that, put it near your face in the morning when you turn up. Now, I don't really know exactly how to use it. I watched a couple YouTube videos. Am I the only person? I go to YouTube for everything. My light don't turn on YouTube. I need to know how to cook something. YouTube. I go to YouTube for everything. So I went to YouTube and I watched a couple videos, and basically like when I get up in the morning, it's not big at all. I'm supposed to turn it on like while I'm laying in my bed, scrolling through the Instagram, getting ready, and it kind of mimics the sunlight, and it's supposed to kind of like trick your body, or not your body, but your brain. If I could trick my bone, never mind. And it's supposed to give you those UV rays, and it's supposed to kind of make you more cheery and happy. So listen, we go together. So if I get a tip, you get a tip. So shout out to the Ned 87 on Instagram, because I cannot mind you. I just got Amazon Prime, okay? I don't have to use Windows no more. So mine actually should be arriving tomorrow. So I'm going to definitely try it out. And, keep y'all updated, because we got to work together, because we're not going to have no sad winter, okay? We having a Purple Pants Posse winter. So thank you so much, Jake. Also on the church announcements, I just wanted to remind you guys that Wendell and I are planning a Survivor viewing party for November 28th in the Philadelphia area. So if you guys are here around, I think it's the day before Thanksgiving. So listen, we're going to watch Survivor. Have a turn up and have a great time. So please keep checking my Instagram and Wendell's Instagrams. We're going to post the details coming soon, and you just never know. You never going to get it, never going to get it. That's an old school song. You just never know who might show up. That's all I'm going to say. But yes, that's this week's church announcements. Okay. So on the menu this week, I have a little bit of a Survivor talk. Now, let me just preference this by saying, guys, that I get your DMs, I get your emails, and I even got a little nasty DM the other day, too. You guys want to hear Survivor talk from me. So, if we go together, so I'm going to give it to you guys. But I also, in the beginning of my platform of the Purple Pants podcast, said that I kind of want to get away from Survivor and really kind of, you guys get the full Bryce Isaiah experience. However, I understand and I respect you guys, because we go together. So if you guys want my take on Survivor, then listen, I got to alter the format, because if the Purple Pants Posse wants it, then I'm going to give it to you. However, I was thinking about a way that, again, we go together. So I've been ironing out ideas in my head that this could be an interactive thing. And so, listen, I need some co-hosts. So I need some people that are interested in co-hosting my Survivor Talk with me. Now, y'all know on my season, Kagian, which is arguably one of the best seasons in the Survivor franchise history, I didn't do that well. So, you know, maybe I'm not the best person to give you Survivor talk. So I need co-hosts. So if you guys are interested in being part of this idea that I have, please email me at thepurplepantspodcast@gmail.com and we could get it popping. I'll share with you my ideas in the email because I want it to be a surprise on the episode. But let's real quick, because great episode for me to start talking about. A lot happened on this week's episode of Survivor, Idols of the Island. You know, the tribes mixed, okay? You know, there is no more, you know, there's a new Lyro. I'll probably say the day wrong. Lyro. And then there's the new Vokal. Now, on the Vokal this week, we saw Nora trying to, like, get people together to, you know, go with Nora. Crazy idea. Now, people be hating on Nora. I love Nora. And if I were playing Nora, it would be somebody I would want to go to the end with. She reminds me a little bit of, like, an Abby Maria a little bit. Like, in the sense of she's unpredictable. You don't really know how she gonna go. But more importantly, what I thought was interesting over there on the Vokal tribe, or no, the Lyro tribe, see what I'm talking about? On the Lyro tribe was the incident that happened with Jamal and Jack. So let me just break this down to you guys. So, you know, in Survivor, we've got buffs, and you know, when you out there, you use your buff for everything. It's your pillow, it's your pot holder, it's your tissue. Some people may use it as their toilet paper, but it's everything out there. And so I guess Jamal, who is an African-American male, who's a great presence on the show. I liked Jamal. I didn't really feel like from this edit so far, we got to see a lot of him. Now, with this episode right here, Jamal won my heart over. So basically, Jamal was like cooking, and one of his cast member, Jake, had said, hey, like, do you need help getting the pot off? You may want to use your do-rag. Ooh, shade. And, you know, Jamal didn't find the joke funny, and it's kind of like a sensitive subject a little bit because do-rags are mostly worn by African-American men. A lot of the time when people think of do-rags, they think of like the thug, and you know, it's just not a great condensation. And why ever would you refer to the buff as a do-rag? Now, me out there, I probably would have got a little spicy and got a little hot. However, I have to commend Jamal for not getting upset, recognizing that there was a teachable moment, and instead of being mad, angry, and you know, he could have went on the camera and said, I can't believe this. Instead, he pulled Jack aside, and basically was giving him the reference points of where he was coming from and how he thought it could be offensive. And Jack was so open and receptive of it. Jack was like, it was a bad joke. I never really meant it that way, and I never thought it could be taken that way. And when I tell you my heart poured out for Jamal, because like I said, y'all, I'm on a roll for a better Bryce. And it's like, and in those teachable moments in life, a lot of the time I wish that I could be as composed and articulate as Jamal. And I just think Jamal did an excellent job at diffusing the situation, providing education, and, you know, letting the world know. And I just think, what a great moment. But all right, enough of that. So, the nitty-gritty, really, of this episode is Tribal Council. So, quick recap. The Lyro, the team with Jamal and Jack, they lost the reward challenge, and Vokal won. Then came to the immunity challenge, and child, it must have been the talk Jack and Jamal had, because Lyro ended up winning. Now, during the reward challenge, Vokal had to sit somebody out. So, they set our girl out. So Elaine had to sit out, but basically they found out that Elaine had to go to the Island of the Idols, and baby, she get over to the Island of Idols, and child, Rob is building some damn condos, okay? Like, what the hell? Like, I mean, I guess they don't have anything else to do, but Rob is building a 20-story apartment complex, okay? And Sandra there holding a ladder, okay? So anyway, Elizabeth's challenge this week, basically Rob is like, you know, every week they go there, they give lessons, and Rob's like, well, here's, and Elaine is like, I'll do it. So basically what Elaine had to do was, there was a clue at the next challenge and she had to grab it, but it's in the middle of the challenge. So she had to be like, you know, sneaky and getting it. Now, hopefully she has a better game plan than Nora in the previous weeks. Anyway, Elaine gets back to camp and she confides in Elizabeth that, listen, I need help getting this. I got a clue that there will be something under the challenge point. I need your help getting it. So obviously she enlists her. They obviously ended up winning. They ended up losing the challenge, but Elaine got the clue, and the clue was to block a vote. Okay. Now on this tribe, real quick, they are locked 4-4. They got the old Lyro is Elaine, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Missy. And whew, let's talk about Aaron real quick in them red underwear. Okay, baby. Boy, y'all see Aaron when he was pulling back that slingshot? Okay, so we team Aaron over here. But anyway, and then on the original vocal, there is Jason, Tom, Lauren, and Dan. So basically, they add a deadlock. Nobody wants to lose a member and be down in the numbers. Now, they're saying, I don't want to go to Rocks. Now, in my mind, I'm like, I wouldn't really mind going to Rocks, you know, because, listen, it's a 1 in 8 chance it might not be me. But the Survivor players and everybody is like, no, we don't want to do that. So everybody's trying to, like, figure out what's happening, what's going to happen. So Elaine gets the clue. She finds out that she can block a vote. So she basically is like, well, listen, I got Aaron and Missy and my girl Elizabeth. So listen, we're going to come together. We're going to block their votes. So everyone is happy. Like, yes, we have this clue. We've got this advantage. We can take him out. Now, Aaron, and to my, what I feel like, Aaron and Missy, they playing. They playing the game. One of the only people, in my opinion, that are really actually like actively playing. I don't know how that will fare for them, because sometimes when you play so hard in the beginning, it can kind of be detrimental to you in the end. However, my fingers are crossed for them, because I'm definitely rooting for them. However, in my from my experience, child, you gotta actually play and turn it on. So it didn't work for me, because I didn't even turn my gameplay on. I just wasn't anyway. But back to this. So Aaron is like, I want to get Elaine out. And now that he knows that Elaine has this clue, he like, all right, I might go with the new vocal and see what's popping with them. So we see him talking to Jason. Him and Jason are like, you know, yes, I want Elaine out. Da-da-da-da. So Tommy, Lauren, Dan, and Jason are all talking like, listen, we can get Aaron and Missy, and we'll vote one of the people out, and we stay strong. Now, baby, between this and like 2 minutes later when they go to tribal, this is when all hell breaks out. So we don't really know who the old Lyro, Elaine, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Missy are kind of like voting for. We see in different confessionals how they say like Tommy is a threat. You know, I hear them saying like, you know, Lauren, she's just not doesn't do anything for me, so I got to get her out. They're like, you know, Dan. And then they say like Jason. So going into tribal, we really don't know who they are gunning for. But we know that they have a block of vote. So we get the tribal, and baby, soon we get down, you know, Elaine, like, listen, y'all, I got this clue, and we blocking a vote. I just felt like that was premature of Elaine during tribal to just bring that out like that. I will wait a little bit to the end when it's time to vote, because what happened was she said that she had this clue, and it caused everyone to panic, and it caused everyone to start, you know how they do, getting up and talking, getting up and talking, getting up and talking, getting up and talking. And now it's like, you know, I'm watching this sipping my Tito's. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's going home. I don't know if Aaron is going to flip on the lane. I don't know if they're going to stay, you know, Lyro strong. It's a lot. It's a lot. So then they went to vote. But baby, did y'all catch the shay, baby boy? So Elaine announces in the beginning that she's going to block Jason's vote. And so, but my thing is like, well, they ain't really talk about Jason, so I don't feel like Jason is a target. I'm like, oh my God, my fourth grade teacher, the love of my life, they're going to try to get Tommy out, or they're going to try to get Lauren out. So we have no idea. My thing is they blocking his vote, but they're not going to vote him out, like in my mind. But baby, when Jason got back and sat down, he tapped Aaron's shoulder and was like, you know, you know, fist pump like we good, baby. Aaron turned that head and said, denied. Oh, that was so awkward. And basically, they ended up voting Jason out. I was shocked. I did not see that one coming. So this episode was delicious and juicy, baby boy. So that's y'all Survivor talk. Okay, y'all want it. Y'all got it. I will work on it and get better with y'all. So next on the menu, Teresa and Joe Giudice, or Giudice, because, you know, in season 1, Teresa was going by Teresa Giudice. Then by season 3, she was saying it's Giudice. But whatever. So I talked about Juicy Joe a couple of episodes ago. You know, Teresa went to jail. He went to jail. When he went to jail, they basically discovered that he wasn't a legal citizen. So after he served his sentence, he went into ICE custody waiting for his trial to see whether or not they would grant him citizenship or give him the process or basically deport him. But Juicy Joe said, I don't feel like waiting a whole nother year. So send me back to Italy while we wait for my court hearing. You know, the new season of New Jersey is coming out. So basically, Bravo, Andy Cohen, they did a one-on-one sit-down with Juicy J and Teresa. Now, going into this interview, I didn't know what to expect. I basically thought it was like, you know, we're going to get to hear from Joe and basically, like, see how he's been doing and see what's up with him. And obviously, Teresa will be in the clubhouse to kind of support him. But, babe, whoo, chalet, that was one of the most awkward interviews I ever had to watch in my life. So basically, they're kind of like updating Joe on, like, you know, updating us on what Joe's been up to, what he's been doing. And, you know, shady Andy Cohen, the questions kind of basically start turning towards, like, Teresa and Joe about, like, what's the status of your relationship? Now, mind you, I did not think that they were going to go that deep. Now, we all know that when Teresa did her year, or, like, you know, 17 months, there was allegations that Joe was seeing other women. Teresa still stood by him side. Even on the seasons, there were allegations that he, like, you know, I told you that one time he was mic'd up and he was like, yeah, my stupid wife, I can't wait to see, like, you know. So we all knew Juicy J, you know, spreading his juices all over the place. And so, but Teresa always stood by her man. And now, you know, I had told y'all on the trailer and in the gossip, you know, tabloids, they were saying Teresa's been seen out with a, you know, younger, fit man. Now, some of the line of the questions that Andy Cohen started to go now, I was just like, and ooh. So basically, he was like, we discovered that Teresa hasn't seen Joe in like 3 years. Oh, okay. Then we discovered that Teresa says that she was not physically attracted to Joe while he was in prison. She was like, I just didn't like the environment. I didn't want to kiss him. Now, girl, we all know that's a lie. Like, it, listen, okay? If my man, if I'm going to see my pen pal, if I'm going to see Danny and he locked up, oh, best believe it's going to be some type of affection. And so that's what she was saying. So then to counter that, Joe's like, well, yeah, when Teresa was locked up, I didn't find her attractive either. Ooh, like, they were literally going tit for tat. And then, so Andy says, well, if Joe has to stay in Italy and you have to, like, you'll stay here with the girls, like, would you make your marriage work? And Teresa was like, well, I don't trust that he would be faithful. Now, this is the first time that we've ever heard Teresa publicly talk like this. Like, she's like, I don't know if that, if he would be faithful. And she was like, and I want a man that I can sleep next to every night. I know that's right. Teresa, so do I. So do I, Teresa. Listen, Teresa, let's go out, see if we can. Anyway, sorry. So, and this is just like, who? And then, so Teresa's like, well, I'm planning to see Joe in a couple of weeks and we'll see if the chemistry is there. Girl, you know if the chemistry is there or not. So this was so weird. And then, like I said, they was going tit for tat. So Joe was like, well, yeah, you know, Teresa might come here and I might be like saying, oh, she's old and I want a hot younger girl. What in the devil? Child, I mean, it was so awkward. And then, you know me, I went to Twitter to see what the Twitter was saying. And basically Twitter was like, oh my God, this is so staged. This is so fake. And I'm like, mm-mm. Listen, Teresa is a friend in my head, and I know my girl Teresa. Ain't none of that was staged, because it was too awkward, too uncomfortable, too, like, you know, ugh. It just was like, made me feel icky. But at the same time, I'm like, yes, Teresa, live your best life. Live your best life, because Juicy Joe ain't doing it for you. He didn't got you locked up, girl. He didn't got you caught up on all of this stuff. You got, and at this point, you're the breadwinner now. Like, you know, you got your cooking Teresa books. You on tour, you on Bravo. You out here winning. So it's like, listen, so I thought it was actually real. Like, I thought, like, that was real. But then, you know, the other day, you know, my good friend Sarah, we always text back and forth. Teresa posted the other day on her Instagram that made me go a little, She was like, get the real story about what's going on with us at people.com. And then she was like, click the link in my bio. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why would? So that was the only thing that I was just like, okay, so maybe they are drumming this up for the premiere of the season that's getting ready to come out, because it's just like, for real, People Magazine, like, girl, you just did a whole interview. Why do we now need to go to People Magazine to basically, like, read all of this juicy tea that I just spilled on the Purple Pants podcast, girl? So, I mean, listen, either way. Oh, and then she said that when she goes to visit Joe, you know, the Bravo cameras will be rolling. So, you know, I am here for this. Now, if anybody that's a fan of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, another little shady question that Andy Cohen asked was, there's Carolyn Manzo. She was an original housewife on the show. I think she was there for like 4 or 5 seasons. Her and Teresa were really close at first, then they had a falling out and never really kind of recovered from it. However, Teresa is best friends with Dina Manzo, who happens to be Carolyn Manzo's sister. And Carolyn and Dina don't really see eye to eye. But basically, maybe season 3 or 4, when some of the allegations of Joe cheating, Carolyn had made a revelation that she says that she feels like she can see down the road that Teresa will leave him and be a stronger and better person. And at the time, Teresa was stand by her man, stand by her man. So that was like fuel to Teresa's fire. Teresa was like, nah, blah, blah, blah. But then also on the interview, Teresa was like, she's a rat. She's a rat. And I was like, I didn't really get what she was saying. But basically, Teresa feels like, or still feels like, Caroline is one of the people that kind of ratted to the IRS about her and Joe. But even in that interview, Joe was like, no. I read the documents. I read the deposition. What is a deputation? A deputine? I bet you are reading some deputines, Juicy Joe. But no, Joe said that he read the depositions and he knows who the rat was, and so he doesn't feel like it was Caroline. But Teresa was still sticking to her guns about that. But if y'all have not seen that interview, it is salacious. It is so awkward. Whew, chile. All right, moving right along on the menu, we got the Prodigal Son. Now, I asked y'all on the Purple Pants Podcast Instagram if y'all had did y'all homework on the Prodigal Son. And to my surprise, a lot of y'all have been there. But listen, I'm a good teacher. So I'm going to give y'all some more time on some homework. But this is going to be some spoilers for like the first 3 episodes. Because mind you, I still got to catch up on episode 5. Because like I said, this week, the zebra had the time of his life this weekend. Okay. That's what I was saying at the party. And they were like, what is that? I was like, that's the sound that a zebra makes. People was looking at me like I was crazy. But anyway, we have Malcolm Whitley. Okay. Now, he is the main character of the show. He is the Gideon of the show. He is the brains of the, he's the profiler. He is in his mind a lot of the season, and he is going through it. He don't want to strap himself down at the bed at night because he's having night terrors. Basically, his dad, Martin Whitley, was a prominent doctor in New York City, and he basically was a serial killer. And basically, like I told y'all before, Malcolm turned him in, and the detective that Malcolm saved, who came and arrested his father, reached out to Malcolm. Malcolm was working for the FBI. He got fired because he's crazy, and like, you know, he's starting to unwind. Now, when we see him episode 1 through 3, he's really kind of like, he's together, but he ain't like he ain't like how we go together. But you know, he is like, you know, holding it together by some tape. But baby, episode 3, 4, 5, 6, that tape is unwinding. So Malcolm reaches back out with Lieutenant Aurora, who is the lieutenant who arrested Malcolm's father when he was younger. So he reaches out. Well, no, Lieutenant Deputy Aurora reaches out to Malcolm to help profile. So Malcolm, they bring him in. Malcolm starts helping the NYPD profile these cases, and he's really successful at the first one, and he gets really excited. Now, mind you, there is the person that does like the autopsy. We're gonna call her the autopsy person, but the coroner. She is Dr. Goldfoyle on the show, and she a little freak. She got a little crush on Malcolm because they both, like, Malcolm is obsessed with like dead people, and the premise of the show is that like Malcolm is his father in a sense. Like, he has these feelings or these thoughts, or he's so interested in the death and how these people died, just like his father, although Malcolm ain't the killer. And so that's how him and Dr. Guilfoyle, they connect, because she a little freak, so she got a crush on Malcolm as well. So Malcolm discovers that he's really, really good at this. However, like I said, the first crime that they discover, or that he helps convict the guy, was a serial killer mocking his father. So Malcolm has to have contact with his daddy. So he doesn't want to have contact with his dad because growing up, he had contact with his dad and he felt like it was not the healthiest thing for him. You know, he got little daddy issues. We all got some daddy issues. I got some daddy issues too. We could talk about that at a later date. But so Malcolm realizes that like his dad, he like loves his dad, like, but he understands that his dad is sick and his dad is like a manipulator, and that his dad wants to be back in his life, but he wants to use him. And Malcolm is somewhat aware of that. So after Malcolm solves the first crime. He don't want to reach out to his dad. Another crime happens, and Malcolm tries to figure it out, and he realizes the only person they can go to is his dad. Now, Jessica Whitley, Malcolm's mom, you know, the pill-popping alcoholic, my girlfriend, okay, I'm trying to go out with Jessica next weekend. She is an intricate person in this series because obviously she was married to Malcolm daddy Martin, and you know, she's overprotective, but she's also just very like hard to explain, very like nonchalant, and she's done things to Malcolm like she doesn't want him to see his father because she's like protecting him. So she becomes an intricate role in this because she's concerned about Malcolm. And you know, Malcolm, his sister Ainsley Whitley, appears to be closer to the mom. She's got a close relationship with Malcolm, but we learn as the episodes go that after her dad went to jail, he didn't even go to jail, after he got sentenced basically for life, but he's in like a psychiatric hospital, that she has had no contact with the dad by the mother's doing. And so there's even a point in the series, like I said, Malcolm does not sleep. He's got night terrors. He can't sleep. And you know, the mom popped pills. And so there's a point in the series where the sister is like, well, you kept me away from dad. And the mom goes, do you sleep at night? Are you able to close your eyes and go to sleep and have a good night's sleep? And the sister's like, yeah. And the mom's like, well, you can thank me for that because I kept you away from your father. So Malcolm realizes that he has to go to his dad because he kind of needs help understanding the mind of a killer. And so Malcolm doesn't want to go to his dad because he's like, I am going crazy every time I see his dad. Now, also, we discover that Malcolm has a psychiatrist. Now, I guess when Malcolm was younger, he needed a little help because he was a little crazy like his daddy. So it seems like he went to the psychiatrist when he was younger. However, we see him just barge into the psychiatrist's office and they basically start talking. And she's like, I really wish you would find someone more closer to your age and, you know, you would participate in therapy more often. And Malcolm's like, I'm fine. So he's basically like unraveling to his psychiatrist the things that he has been having visions about. And basically he feels like he suppressed some things that he remembered when he was younger, and that in these night terrors, they're coming back to him. And he remembers this vision of this lady in this box. And that's kind of like how everything jumped off. He keeps seeing this vision of this like body in the box. And now he's like so concerned about who this girl is, because when he looks back through things, he realizes all the people that his dad killed, they're not accountable for this lady in the box. And so he kind of asks his mom about it. And the mom was like, there was never a lady in the box, Malcolm. There was never a lady in the box. And so his dreams get more and more vivid to the point that like he has himself restrained in the bed, a little freaky, like I was saying to you guys. And basically like he breaks through his restraints and like wakes up like, and like jumps out a window, but because he's like sleepwalking essentially. And so that's how vivid the memories are. So basically he realizes that this person in the box was real. And so one of the later episodes, spoiler alert, I told y'all should have watched it. I'm not spoiling everything. But he later realizes that his dad, he remembers the, like he can, in these dreams, he's remembering that his dad drugged him. He used chloroform when he saw the box, that he remembers at this point that the dad drugged him, and that he remembers like laying in the bed. He remembers the dad putting something over his face, and he remembers in the bed, and then he remembers his dad saying, like, you know, go to sleep. And then he sees his mom come in the room. He's like, is everything okay with him? And the dad's like, yeah, he's just dreaming. And Malcolm kind of starts reaching for his mom, and the dad's like, oh, look at him. And the mom leaves, and then he puts more chloroform over him. He goes to sleep. And so, like, now Malcolm is starting to remember this. And so now it looks like Malcolm is becoming obsessed with figuring out this girl in the box. Now, that's all I'm going to give y'all, but it's some more tea. You know what? Y'all should have did y'all homework. I'm telling y'all some more tea. So Malcolm, as he remembers more things, the night tremors start to get, like, you know, they get more intense. And so I believe this might be episode 4 or episode 5. The episode starts where Malcolm is, again, we keep seeing Malcolm walk over to the box. We keep seeing the body, and he's like, oh, and you know, the last episode, we remembered that the dad put chloroform over him, and that's how he feels like, you know, he was drugged, he went back to sleep. But in this memory, he sees his mom in a red dress, and she sees Malcolm by the box, and she's like, Malcolm, what are you doing down here? You know your dad is into very bad things. You need to never be down here again. And that's all that Malcolm remembers, and he wakes up like, oh! ah! And that's when he jumped out the window. And mind you, he jumped out the window to his mom being downstairs trying to get into the building, but he changed the locks. Like I said, he lives in the loft that the mom owns because they rich. So, ooh, now that's some tea, because now it's like, wait a minute, does the mom know everything? And that's where I'm going to leave it off. Yeah, juicy. I'm trying to tell y'all, this is juicy. It's good. It's really, 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 really good. I mean, it is like my nightly treat. So I am definitely going to finish the new episode and episode, I think it's either 5 or 6. I'm going to finish that and I'm going to report back to y'all. But listen, it's juicy. I'm so happy I discovered this show. All right, moving right along. Where we at, y'all? Housewives of Atlanta. Ooh, ooh, bloop. Bloop, I'm rich, bitch. Okay, who gonna check me, boo? Okay, listen. Housewives of Atlanta came on. It's back. Season 12. Hootie-hoo. But what you gonna do? Hootie-hoo. But what you gonna do? Now, let me give y'all some tea, allegedly, that has been reported. So, you a real Atlanta Housewives fan. So first of all, I told y'all I'd be following these Instagram pages. Like, it's like the Real Housewives of Atlanta _. I love these because they like, wow, the people that are filming, if like, you know, some people in Atlanta are out seeing stuff, they'll snap a photo and send it to these Instagrams, and the Instagrams will report it, and they got some inside tea. So here's some inside tea that I got over the summer. So I don't know if y'all remember last season on Housewives of Atlanta. Nene had that breakdown in her closet when she was like, do not go in my closet. And then it just seemed like a lot had gone on. And then on the reunion, we discovered that it may or may not have gotten violent and that a producer gotten hurt. So the tea that had been reported was that, as allegedly, Nene's punishment for this was that she was going to be pulled out of like 3 episodes. Like, she's not going to begin in the beginning episodes. And then Nene did this press run like, you know, I did what punishment? It ain't no punishment for me. You know, I'm the HBIC in charge. And so here we are, the first episode, and there is no sighting of Nene. We know Nene's on the season, but that's a little tidbit that I got from my Instagrams that I be following. I told y'all they good. So on this episode, the starter episode, now mind you, the Housewives for the really, 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 really good seasons, like Housewives of New Jersey, Housewives of Beverly Hills, and Housewives of Atlanta, baby, they be like 25 episodes. It's a lot. And so a lot of the times, it don't start to get juicy until mid-season, when they do that mid-season break and they go on vacation and after that. So this episode was a little slow, a little dry, you know, not much, but I'll give you a rundown and a recap. So we see Kenya Moore is back. We know that Kenya, okay, I'll give you some more tea that I got. So Kenya Moore on season 11 was not on the season, and allegedly from my Instagram sources of these Instagram sites, I'm telling y'all gotta get on them. Basically, we know Kenya got married, she had a baby. When Kenya got married, she chose not to get married on camera, and so that was a big no-no for the Bravo TV producers. They was like, listen, you've been on this show for 6 years at this point, and you, the whole premise of you basically was like trying to find love, you wanted a man, you wanted a baby. Now how your main storyline, you get married and you don't want to share it with us? So allegedly Bravo was not happy, so they pulled her from season 11. Okay, but obviously she's back, you know, people love, come on, twirl, you better twirl. So she's back. She's married to Mark Daly. She's got a beautiful baby. So basically, we see Kenya. And she basically kind of sort of catches us up. Her baby's gorgeous. We learned that Kenya and Mark are not doing so well because Mark has a business in New York. Kenya is in Atlanta, and they are not, like, you know, they married, but they still not under one roof. You know, she's got to travel back to New York, you know, to be with him. She's got this baby. It's a lot of stress on her, and so she's planning a baby party for her beautiful, beautiful daughter. Now, then we go fast forward to Portia. Portia, who was also pregnant, she, last season, she got engaged to Dennis McKinney, an Atlanta entrepreneur. He owns like some hot dog companies and some clubs. And so basically, a lot of the drama from last season was that he used to date one of Candy's friends, and Candy was trying to bring the tea to Portia. Portia didn't want to hear it. You know, a lot of the people at the Candy Factory aren't fans of Portia due to the incident that happened with Phaedra and Portia back in season, that might have been 10, where, you know, Portia was saying that Candy tried to drug her and bring her to the sex dungeon. But then, you know, Candy turned any negative thing into a positive. Now she got a sex dungeon tour all over the U.S. So she We see her with her beautiful baby, and, you know, she's just by herself in the house. And then, you know, her mom comes in, and basically, and this is another thing that the Instagrams was reporting that, you know, and the blogs all summer, that allegedly Dennis had been cheating on Portia all while they were pregnant, and that basically, like, the girl was coming forward. So the season starts off with kind of, you know, Portia addressing those rumors, and she addressing them by basically saying she kicked them out. And she's, like, really going through this publicly, like, she got, like, you know, a two-month-old baby, and she basically says that Dennis is a part of her family now, and so whether they'll be together or not, you know, that's still her child's father. And so her mom really loves Dennis, so she at this point has not broken the news to her mom as to why they are not together. However, if I know why they're not together, then I'm sure her mom knows why they're not together. So that's kind of what Portia is dealing with. And, you know, she's talking about how she got to get up and change the baby at night. And that's normally something that Dennis would do, but he's not here to do it now. And she's just really kind of going through. And I can kind of sympathize with Portia. It's just sad to see my girl Portia, because normally Portia's so bubbly and fun, and she's going through it. We also have our girl Cynthia Bailey. Cynthia is dating Michael Hill, who is like a sports reporter. You know, she met him last season. She was married to PETA, who, you know, was on the show for a while. And they got married on the show. They got divorced on the show. It didn't work out for Cynthia. So Cynthia is now, like, you know, the last two seasons was all about Cynthia trying to date and find love. Now she has Michael Hill. He lives in L.A. She lives in Atlanta. And they're in a happy place. And it looks like they are on the road to getting engaged. However, Cynthia is all like, well, when are you going to engage? When are we going to get engaged? And Mike is like, well, it's supposed to be a surprise, so I'm not going to tell you. So we see that with Cynthia. It seems like, you know, her storyline is that she's getting engaged. She also lets us know that at the end of last season, her and NeNe had a falling out, a very public falling out. And this is what I hate. I love, first of all, y'all know me. I love NeNe and I love Cynthia. I love their friendship together. Now, I don't necessarily like Cynthia by herself, per se. I like the force of NeNe and Cynthia together. They had a falling out because, you know, Kenya was not on the season last season, but Cynthia opened up a wine cellar type of, like, you know, not a bar, but like basically a wine bar. And at the grand opening of that, you know, she brought Kenya, and NeNe didn't know about that. And so Cynthia kind of sort of tried to lie about it and was like, I didn't know she was coming. But, you know, Shady Bravo, they got clips of Cynthia talking to Mike, like, should I just pretend like I didn't know that she was there? So that was a big source of contention, because we know that Kenya and NeNe are arch enemies on this show. So basically Cynthia lets us know that she has not talked to NeNe basically since the reunion, and basically, like, you know, she's 52 years old and she doesn't really want to be arguing with friends. And so I ain't even mad at that, but I love them together. Then we see Candy, you know, a billion things going. She got the opening of OLG, the Old Lady Gang restaurants that she has in Atlanta that have now expanded. She's got four of them now, and so I believe we're at like an opening of one of her Old Lady Gangs or something. And so she lets us know that she is pregnant. She's not pregnant, but they are pregnant because she has a surrogate. And you know her doctor is Dr. Jackie from Married to Medicine. And side note, I've been getting the tweets and I've seen the DMs. I will give you guys a Married to Medicine update on another episode. But Dr. Jackie is Candy's doctor. And Candy is basically, I think, 14 weeks pregnant, her surrogate is. So that's exciting for Candy. But here is the shade, the tea. Here come where the tea come in at. So basically it is Eva is there, Cynthia is there, and Candy are there. And they're basically at the Old Lady Gang, and they just, like, you know, talking, catching up. And some lady walks over. Well, she sends a drink, and then the lady proceeds like, hi, I bought you guys a drink. And they all like, hi. Now, here's what I just find. This scene to me was just so like, okay, this just looks very scripted. She walks over and she's just like, hi, nice to meet you ladies before. I just want to let you guys know, Portia, there's been a lot of rumors going on with Portia and Dennis McKinney. And I'm actually the alleged mistress. Her name was Sincerely Sincere. And they all like, ooh. First of all, okay, if Portia is my friend and some girl, take my earrings off. Listen, I'm throwing some collard greens in her face and we gonna fight. But basically, she just says that, you know, the blogs have been ruining her life and that she's never even met Dennis. So, like, the blogs are just outright blatantly lying. And so all the girls are like, ooh, this is good tea. This is good tea. We'll take this back to Cynthia. We'll take this back to Cynthia. Now, however, this puts Candy in a very predicament. This puts her in a very weird place because obviously last season she had a falling out with Portia regarding this whole allegations of Candy's friend dating him. Candy trying to warn Portia, like, listen, he's a player, be careful. And so it got really nasty between them. Now here Candy is at her own restaurant and some girl is coming up to them telling them tea. So Candy like, we should tell her, but I don't, you know, let's go to her house or something. Fast forward, Kenya is having a coming out party for her daughter. Basically, like, you know, since she's been gone, nobody's been seeing her kids. So she wanted to have, like, basically a Barbie doll reveal party. At the party, Eva does not bring her children because she's like, I never met Kenya like that before. So I want to make sure the energy is right. And Portia was like, well, this is a kid event. Why would you think, you know, the energy wouldn't be right? And Cynthia, who is at this point best friends with Kenya, is like, yeah, I kind of agree with Eva, like, you know, make sure the energy is right. And I agree with her as well too, baby, not my babies, you know, listen, we could be castmates, but any event that I bring my children to, I want to be protective of, whether or not it is a kid friendly event or not. I don't really know this lady, so I'm kind of for Eva on that. So basically Portia and Kenya have had an on again, off again relationship. You know, the infamous fight at the reunion show when Kenya had a bullhorn and basically Portia snatched it from her and they got into a physical altercation. Portia was then downgraded from a housewife to a friend of the show, but now she's back to a housewife. So their relationship has always been on and again, off again, but now they both have children. And so there's a scene where basically when Candy, Cynthia, and Eva are talking about Sincerely Sincere, Kenya comes over and she's like, what y'all whispering about? And they basically tell Kenya, and Kenya's like, well, I'm gonna tell her. And they're like, no, we're gonna tell her because we just want to make sure everything is right. So there's a moment where I forget, child, I was getting something to eat, some juice. I don't know how Kenya and Portia got together in a room. It looked like they might have been changing diapers, and basically Portia was spilling the tea to Kenya, like, well, yeah, you know, Eva ain't bring her kids because she said she wanted to fill out your energy. And y'all know how Kenya is. Kenya's like, well, she'll never be invited to an event again, like, you know. But that was something that they bonded over. So then Kenya took it upon herself to say, well, listen, I got some tea, you know, that girl's Simply Sincere. And Portia's like, yeah. She's like, well, the girl, let me go get the girls. And Portia is like, and who, what, where, why, who, what, when. So she gets the girls awkwardly, and you know, Candy is like, oh god. And so Portia's like, well, where did this happen at? And then they like, well, it happened at the old lady gang. And she was like, oh, the old lady gang. And Candy like, see, this is why I didn't want to do it. So basically Cynthia and Eva tell Portia, basically the girl came, she said that she never even met Dennis. So everyone's like, yes, this should be good news, like, yes, the rumors are true. And Portia in her confessionals is like, I ain't worried about no Simply Sincere. She was like, Dennis and I's issues are deeper than that. And she was like, I know it wasn't Simply Sincere. It was somebody else. Ooh. So that's the start of season 12. The trailer looks delicious. So we got to warm it on up. So I just wanted to give y'all a report to y'all what's popping on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know, this is one of my favorite housewife shows. You know, I'm going to need some co-hosts. So you never know who will come and talk with me about the next time we talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. But Baby, let's get into this meat and potatoes, y'all. Love after lock up. Love after lock up. Boom, boom. So this episode was good. First of all, I want to introduce you guys to a new characters that we've met maybe 3 episodes back. But listen, with the juice with Angela, the juice with Lacey, the juice with Vincent Puffy, it was hard for me to kind of give you the tea on these people, but they're a mess as well too. So I want to introduce you guys to Glorietta and Alex. Glorietta is a nursing assistant, and Alex is in jail for identity theft and something else. So how they meet is Glorietta's cousin was in jail, and she was calling her cousin, and Alex heard Glorietta on the phone, and basically they started talking. Child, listen, maybe I should have called my Uncle Pookie while he was in jail. I could have met somebody then. So basically, Glorietta is, you know, she loves Alex. We see the first episode, but the first time we meet them, she is like so excited to meet Alex. She goes to jail. She got like 1,000 balloons for Alex to come out. She's like, you know, Alex is so talented. He's singing. And mind you, in one of Alex's confessionals, he's like, baby girl, Glorietta. Like, oh, child, this ain't American Idol. We are not here for that, Alex. We here for the mess. So we learn that Alex is Muslim, Glorietta is Christian. So they get out of jail. She gets them out of jail. They go to a hotel. It's actually, to my surprise, a rather nice hotel. I can get down with Glorietta's taste. So she takes Alex to a nice hotel. And basically, she's like, I want to go out and have dinner. And she also tells us that she hasn't had sex in like 4 years. She's been celibate because her relationships have not been working out. So she's like, you know, for your first night out, I really want to go to dinner and have fun. And so Alex is like, I just want to go to a bar, get some drinks and turn up. Okay, now that's my first red flag that, okay, Glorietta, girl, this is the man that, like, so, listen. So, basically, he's like, well, can we just stay in a hotel and you know, just have a good time? I want to spend time with my girl. So, Glorietta's upset. So, basically, he runs them a bubble bath and essentially her four-year dry spout is over, okay? So, she gave up the cookie tookie real quick. So, shady. So, they at this hotel that they paid for. You know, Glorietta is sleeping and Alex runs downstairs and he asks the front desk person, like, can I use your cell phone? And he makes this phone call and he calls somebody. He's like, hey baby, I just want to let you know that I'm out and that I've been wanting to see you, and you know, I've been thinking about you. So we then learned that was Alex calling his ex-girlfriend Juliana. And basically he was saying that, you know, they did drugs together. They've been together for 6 years. She's in rehab. They haven't seen each other yet. And so we like, oh, okay. So now we all like, Alex is a player. So we then learned that Glorietta's mom, she knows about Alex, but, you know, she is not happy, but she's willing to meet him. But the issue that we learn with Glorietta's mom is that when she finds out that Alex is Muslim, Glorietta is Catholic, and she's like, my mom really wants me to be Catholic. And, you know, the mom, so they meet at a park, and, you know, she meets Alex, and the Muslim thing comes up, and she's like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to know anything about your religion. So it's this real big fight. Her mom crazy. So that's it. Then the next time we see them, listen, everybody get a ring. So Alex is at a ring shop and, you know, he's bringing Glorietta. They looking at rings. They like the rings. They see the rings. Now, this is the shady part. So they at the ring shop. Glorietta's like, oh, I really like that one. He's like, you like that one, baby girl. So in the ring shop, Alex gets down on one knee and proposes to Glorietta. What in the hell? Now, we don't see him buy the ring. I don't really ever see the ring on her again, but if it's that easy, well, I'm gonna start hanging out at a ring shop. Maybe somebody will propose to me. So they are now engaged. The next scene, and so, oh, this was another issue, was that, like, they got into a fight after she met with his mom, after Alex met Glorietta's mom. The fight was that, you know, she was saying, I'm Christian and I want to make sure that my children are Christian. And Alex is like, well, I want to raise my children Muslim. And she's like, I don't want Muslim children. Like, sounding very ignorant. So that was a big fight for them. So then next scene, we see them looking at the gay engagement rings. He proposes to her with a ring that she doesn't have because we don't know if he bought it. She's so excited. She's crying. The owner of the store and the other girl just sitting there looking like, what is going on? So as she accepts Alex's proposal, she tells him, I'll have Muslim babies for you. Well, that was real easy. So the next time we see them is they're having an engagement party. Time has lapsed a little bit. I think he's been out for like 3 weeks at this time. So, you know, they seem to be real serious. Like, you know, so they at an engagement party, all of Alex's friends are there. And Glorietta's family is there. You know, her mom there. And the mom is there. And she's talking to, like, one of Glorietta's family. She's like, you know, I just want to be support my daughter. But I don't want to hear about this Muslim thing. And I don't like him. So, now, I will give it to Alex. He was on his best behavior. He came over. He said hi to her. Now, granted, she's, like, sitting down at a table. And so he comes over and he, like, touches her shoulder. And he's like, hi. She's like, don't touch me. Like, just making a big scene. And Alex is like, okay. Okay. So Alex kind of goes and walks around the party and Glorietta's like, mom, you're being mean. And she's like, I'm not being mean. Why does he have to touch me? And then, you know, everybody in this season gets a confessional. So we have a confessional of her mom like, why does he have got to put his little grubby hands on me? Don't touch me. I'll turn up. I'll turn this party out. Okay, in her confessional. So then Glorietta's talking to her mom, like, you're doing too much. Like, if you're not going to be here and support us, then you could go home. And the mom's like, well, if you want me to go home, I'll go home. And so she's like, yeah, I want you to leave. So the mom and Gloria, the little brother, leave. So Alex is like talking to one of his friends who look all right. Okay. I think it's his friend name is like Guido, not Guido, Guato, something. I don't know. But listen, Alex, tell Guato to call me. So he's telling his friend about like how upset he is that, like, you know, the mom hates him and he really wants to tell her some information that he learned. So he follows the mom outside, bad decision. And he's like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, what do you want? What do you want? Leave me alone. And he's like, I just wanted to let you know, last night when me and Glorietta were sleeping, we woke up. She's like, I don't want to think about you and my daughter in the bed together. I don't want to think about you and my daughter in the bed. Like, that's what she's like harping on. She's like moving her arms. And so, mind you, Alec is like trying to, comfort her. So he like touches her, like, can you calm down? She's like, don't touch me. Crazy. So he's like, I just want to let you know what I learned in my religion. And that just set her off. Then she storms back into the party and she's like, I'm a F him up. Child. So Glorietta's like, what's going on? She's like, he touched me. Like, she's trying to make it something that he's not. Then in Alex's confessional, he realizes he wanted to tell the mom that he discovered that although he is a Muslim man, his daughter does not have to convert to Islam, that she can stay Christian. He thought that there would be something that would like bring them together. A mess. So this week's episode with Glorietta and Alex, Glorietta is like getting ready. You know, she's got a wedding book. You know, this was like day one when Alex got out. She showed him this wedding book. Like, this is the type of dresses that I want. This, and Alex is like, okay. So here we are. Fast forward 4 weeks later, she is getting ready. She wants to try on a wedding dress. So she's like, I'm going to try on my wedding dress today. She goes, tries on a wedding dress. And Alex is like, I got to meet up with my friend Guato. So he meets up with Guato and he's like, yeah, Juliana called me, that's his ex-girlfriend. He like, and you know, we're supposed to meet up. And Guato was like, but I thought you with Glorietta. He's like, I love her, but I gotta see it. And Guato's like, you playing with fire. And he's like, no, I really gotta get closure. So then they meet up at a Starbucks and we see Juliana. Now, mind you, Glorietta, you know, she's a little plump, but you know, she likes to wear her makeup on. Sometimes it looks clownish, but like, I like Glorietta. She's together. But baby, we meet Juliana. And Juliana, although she might have just got out of rehab, you know, for doing drugs and other stuff, Juliana is cute. And to me, honest, I feel like Juliana is more Alex's type. So we see Juliana. She's cute. She just got out of rehab. She gets the confessional. And she's basically like, it's good to see Alex. Like, she's like, Alex is the first person I've seen from my past. And, you know, I'm on a new life. I'm new wave. I don't really hang out with people from my past. I'm really trying to start my life over. So they get coffee. And Alec automatically, like, starts drinking out of her drink, touching her. He's like, you look beautiful. And she's like, great. And she's like, well, where were you when you called me the other night? And he's like, I was in a hotel with my fiance. And she like, fiance? And he's like, yeah, her name's Glorietta and we're getting married. She's like, okay, well, that's not going to last. Yes. Juliana was like, well, that's not going to last. And he's like, well, what do you mean? She's like, flashback to her confessional. She's like, Alex is the opportunist. He never likes to be alone. And she was like, you know, I know this won't work. And so flashback to the dinner date. It's just weird because it's like, you know, she's like, well, okay, well, it's not going to work. And she's like, I met her while I was in jail. And she was like, yeah, I bet. And he was like, well, at the time, she really just was a financial option for me. And now it's turned into something else. And Juliana's like, well, how can she just be a financial opportunity for you? She was like, it's not going to work. And she's like, in her confessional, she's like, well, I'm not a home wrecker. And so I won't wreck up no home. And I'm nobody's number two. So she was like, he needs to figure that out. So then basically, Juliana's telling Alex, like, you need to figure this out. But what I'm trying to figure out is, what do he need to figure out? Like, are y'all basically saying like you would get back with him? Like, that was real confusing. So that's the mess of Glorietta and Alex. I'll keep you posted on them. Now, ooh, I got a great update. We got Angela.
Hi, Bryce.
Angela.
Hi, Bryce.
Angela. Listen, so we see Angela again. Baby, listen. So we see Angela, child. She got like a little rancher house. She got a dining room table literally next to her stove. So I guess she could cook and sit at the table. She's smoking her Marlboros, and we see Tony. Well, we see her reading like a 6-page letter from Tony, and then her phone is ringing, and it's saved asshole Tony. And she picks up, and she's like, "Stop calling me!" and hangs up. And basically, she gives us the update in her confessional that basically Tony was arrested for absconding from the halfway house. He got out, and he is in like another halfway house program, but he doesn't have like the access to leave the halfway house program.
So she's like, Tony wants to get back with me. And, you know, I just don't want it. I you know, he really broke my heart. But yet he's calling her and 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 calling her. Asshole Tony, asshole Tony, asshole Tony. Just keeps hopping up. And she's basically just like, yeah, I don't want to be with him. Then the next scene, child, we see Angela in some like red tights, a white shirt, and some black boots, and she riding a motorcycle. Then the next scene, she is like tuning the motorcycle up. And so she's like, yeah, I bought this motorcycle for Tony. You bought him a motorcycle? Angela. So she's like, yeah, I bought this motorcycle for Tony when we were going to be together, but, you know, I just enjoy riding it. So then Tony calls. And so she picks up and he's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I really want to make it up to you. And she's just like, I just don't trust anything you say, Tony. Angela, I'm so sorry. I just really want to make it up to you. And like, I love you. Tony, you really broke my heart. And the thing that really upset me the most was I can get over you going to jail. I already knew you would go back to jail, but it's that girl. I just can't believe that girl. Angela, I'm a changed man. I'm a changed man. I'm really working on myself. I just can't trust you, Tony. Well, I was thinking if we could start over. How will we start over? Well, I was thinking I'd get out in a week and I could live with you. Live with me? Yeah, we could start over and I could live with you and I could show you the better person that I could be. Now, hold up a hell damn minute. And mind you, as Tony is saying this to Angela, Angela, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about you.
Sorry.
She is like, you can see that her crazy behind is buying this. Girl, he's getting out in a week, and now he wants to come back to your house and saying that he love you and want to be with you. Angela, I'm telling you now, if you do this, I'm done. You're done here at the Purple Pants Podcast. I'm letting you know that now. So that's where it kind of ends off, is that like he hangs up, and she's just like, I don't know if
Tony needs somewhere to go where he really wants to be with me.
Bitch, what do you think? Girl, he got out one day. You seen him one day. He didn't want to have sex with you. Then he's cheating on with these other girls. Then he got locked back up. Now he love you again? Girl, get gone. Get going, Angela. Get going. Now, let me give you a real quick update on Amber, Puffy, and Vince. So, real quick update on them. So, like I told y'all before, Amber don't believe that Vince wants to be with her. She believes that he's deceptive. He's not the person that he means to be with. Now, let me tell you, you know, her in-jail girlfriend, Puffy, she's staying at Puffy house, mom's house. So, baby, this is really the only update that we get from Amber this week, is that she's at Puffy mom house. Her phone ring is Puffy. Puffy calls like, what's up, girl? And Angela's like, hey, I mean Angela. Sorry, Angela's still on my mind. Amber is like, girl, I can't do it. I can't do it with Vince. I can't do it. And Puffy is like, girl, what? No, you better do it. You gotta do it. This is what we planned. What was the plan? So then Amber reveals that the plan, well, when she first started talking to Vince, he basically said that he was in the process of creating this medical app that was going to make him a lot of money. So basically, Amber and Puffy decided to that they were going to use Vince, that they would have Amber marry Vince, he get all of this money, and then Amber will be able to take care of Puffy and her mom. Oh, the truth comes out. Yes, we know you were never attracted to him. So the fact that you're so mad at him, and really, I figured it out. The issue is that, like, Vince is being real, and Vince really want to be with her, and she's mad that, like, now she has to continue to be with him, and she don't want to be with him, and she's not attracted to him. So it's like easier said than done. And so Puffy is like, girl, you gotta do this. You better do this. You are 2 more months and then I'll get out and handle it. And Amber's like, girl, you gonna have to start emailing him or calling him. I can't do it. And then and then Puffy like, girl, you better suck his whoo and you make him happy. Do whatever you want. So basically, we now understand the plan. Okay, so that's the plan. That's why Amber ain't attracted to him. She came out to use Vince. And she's like, well, has he been helping you financially? And Amber gonna say, not really. And then Puffy was like, well, what did he do? Well, he took me shopping. He bought me a bed. Girl, hello. That's helping you financially. Because if not, you'd be sleeping on the floor at Puffy mom house. So then in the confessional, the producer is like, so basically, were you lying about ever having feelings for Vince? And she's like, wait, you're asking me if I like had feelings for Vince? And they're like, no, we're asking you, did you lie to us about having feelings for Vince? And was this all a scheme? And then she just really, then she start acting like Vince, don't want to answer the question. Just going like, well, when I first started talking to Vince, I really thought that he was a great guy. And like, you, yeah, okay, the jig is up. So then even what is even more funnier is that she's on the phone with Puffy, and then it's like, you have 60 seconds remaining left. And then she looks up, and Puffy mom is standing outside smoking a cigarette, looking at her. And Amber's like, oh, I just, your mom is looking at me. I don't know how much of this she heard. And Puffy is like, you better do whatever you got to do to make it work for us. And Amber's like, I don't know if I could do that, girl. But, and it's like, the call has been disconnected. So who, like I said, didn't I call it Purple Pants Posse? Didn't I say she ain't never love him? She ain't never want to be with him. Now I feel bad for Vince. But it's still something a little shady with Vince too. But that's the Amber Vince Puffy story. But baby, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Lacey, John, and Shane. You know my good, good girlfriend, Lacey. So I told y'all last episode, Lacey, you know, Shane proposed to her. She was so happy, so happy. Then 2 seconds later, she wasn't happy. 3 seconds later, she was running after Shane. 4 seconds later, she slapped Shane. 5 seconds later, Shane said, you ain't gonna be putting your hands on me. And then, you know, Shane go with some guy that we don't know who is. And then that's it. So then scene, next scene, it start with Lacey laying on the bed, getting dressed, and Shane's just standing there. And guess what he's doing, y'all? I'm let y'all guess what he's doing. He's smoking a cigarette. So he's smoking a cigarette, and Lacey's just like, so like, I just feel like we need to like talk about like, you know, obviously like what happened. Girl, it's the next day. So y'all clearly talked about it because he's still at your house. So Shane's just like, it's whatever. I mean, I love you. I want to be with you. And so basically Lacey's like, I mean, I've been allowing you to stay here, but today John gets out. So I'm maybe going to have to ask you to leave just so that, like, you know, if John wants to come back here. And bae, this is when Shane starts turning me on. Shane's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going nowhere. Oh, okay, Shane. Whoa, little juicy. Shane was like, I ain't going nowhere. So Lacey's just like, so then she just like gets out the house, and where does Lacey go? Start smoking a cigarette. So Lacey go out the house, Shane follow her, and Shane's like, listen, look, I'm not going nowhere. Like, you my woman, I want to be with you, I love you. So then Lacey starts explaining to him, like, you know, why she was so mad about the engagement, because she felt like it just was an engagement, it didn't have any meaning behind it, and that it just was like, you know, whatever. So Shane like, I love you, girl, like, you know. So basically she's like, I have to go pick John. At this point, at the bottom of the camera, it's like John gets released in 1 hour. So she's like, I have to go pick up John, and I have to figure things out with John. And Shane like, well, I'm going with you. Oh, so she's just like, I don't want you fighting, I don't want you going back to jail, like, I don't want you to go. And he's like, well, if you go and I'm going, I'm riding with you. Okay, so this is what I can say, this is what I like about Shane, is like, he ready to ride for his girl. So this makes me like Shane a lot, because it's like, he fell in love with her, he want to be with her. So fast forward, Lacey is in her car, Shane's not with her, and she's driving to the prison, and, you know, she's smoking a cigarette, and she is on her way to go get John out. And so basically we see Lacey's like standing outside waiting for John to get out. John gets out. He doesn't look that good. I thought he looked a little more cuter, but maybe after you get a haircut. They hug, and they're basically like, it's an awkward situation. You know, it's like Joe Giudice and Teresa. Awkward situation. It's like, you know, Amber, Puffy, and Vince. Awkward situation. So there, it's like weird, because he's like, so happy to see you. You look good, babe. She's like, thanks. And they're just basically talking, and out of nowhere, she's just like, I just have to tell you. And mind you, it seems like it's going kind of okay. You know, little awkward situation. You could just tell that it's just like, you know, he's happy to see her, but she's just kind of holding back a little bit. And he's like somewhat happy, and then she's like, I have to tell you something. I love Shane. And so instantaneously, his face kind of like drops. And he's just like, well, what do you mean? And she's just like, I mean, I just want, I love Shane. And I don't know what I want to do. And then like, she goes to give him his ring. And he's like, she's like, you can have this ring back. He's like, I don't want that. You could throw that in the trash. And then so he like, so this is again, a pattern of Lacey. So he's like, all right, whatever. And he starts walking away. She's like, where are you going? And he's like, well, what do you mean? You telling me you want to be with this other guy? What do you, how you think I'm going to be with that? And she's like, but look at us, look at us. We're arguing. This is why I don't want to be with you. You're arguing. Lacey girl, you know I love you, boo. But you did kind of start this fight. Like, you know what I'm shaking? Like, you know, you did just tell him you love Shane. He just got out of jail. You supposed to be, you know, he might be Marlo daddy. You saying also on the way to the episode, on the way to the prison, she is talking to a producer and she's telling the producer, like, you know, John loves her kids, and if Marlo's her kid, he's gonna love Marlo. And even if he's not, she's like, you know, John loves my kids and he's gonna be in my kid's life regardless. So let's fast forward to what I was telling y'all. Like, Shane is like, I like this done. I don't got time for this. She's like, what are you, like, we're arguing. We're arguing. Girl, you started the argument. So John don't want nothing. Like, John, he had put his stuff in her car. He taking the stuff out the car. Now, ooh, chile. Then they flash to another scene of baby boy Shane sitting in the back of a car. He's like, yeah, Lacey didn't want me to go, but I got a ride. You got a ride, or did WeTV provide you a ride? Because it looked like the same car that WeTV provided you a ride when you just randomly showed up at her house. But I'm going to just let that slide, WeTV. Okay, I'm going to let that slide, because he's sitting in the back of the car like, yeah, I had to get a ride. Where you get a ride from? And how you staying at Lacey house so long? I thought you was paroled to your daddy house. But okay, I ain't going to tell the parole officer. I'm going to let you be great. So Shane is in the car riding like, yeah, like, you know, I don't want to go back to prison, but I ain't no punk and I'm a fight for who I love. Ooh, Shane. Yes. Shane, you got a brother. You got a cousin. You got a turtle for my turtle Kimmy. So again, that's what I like about Shane. He's for the roo roo rah rah for his girl. So John, Lacey sitting in the car, and then John's like, I'm done with this. So mind you, he unmics himself and just throws the mic. Now listen, John, WeTV mic ain't do nothing to you. You ain't have to throw the mic like that. So Lacey's just sitting in her car, smoking a cigarette, stressed out. John's walking away, throwing a mic, and then Shane pull up. Shane gets out the car, and of course, they, like, you know, the credits start rolling, and this is the end of the episode. Y'all playing with me, WeTV. Y'all is playing with me. I wanted to see the interaction. Okay, you could have cut Glorietta and Alex a little short. Okay, so all we see is Alex, all we see is Shane kind of like walking up by cars, and he's like, Lacey. And then we see John unmic standing by a tree looking around, and they go, next week's episode. And I cut the TV off after that. I said, I don't even want to see the previews. I'll wait till next week because y'all playing with me. Y'all is playing with me. Whew, okay, sorry. Awkward situation. I want to see the awkward situation, baby boy. Oh, so good. Well, all right, that was the menu for this week, y'all. Now let's move right along. So you know me, my favorite part of the podcast is the Purple Pants Picks. Bump, bump. It's the Purple Pants Picks. All right, you guys know here at the Purple Pants Picks on my Instagram, I post up on a story with your picks, and you guys send them in, and I report back to you. So this week from Instagram, we got Victor the Baker wants to know, this is going to be my first winter up north. So if you have any ideas or no, any advice for the cold weather, I love you forever. Woo! Victor. I hate to break it to you, but up north, it get cold, okay, and it get dark. Real, real early. So I already told you in the church announcement, get you a sad lamp on Amazon. Okay, because you're going to need it. Another thing I can tell you is it's snow. It's snow a lot. So you're going to need you a shovel. You also going to need you go. I would suggest you go to like a little Walmart, Target, get you a foldable chair. Because up north, when we have street parking, and if we shovel out a parking spot, okay, if we shovel out a parking spot, don't matter if it's in front of Lulu house, don't matter if it's in front of Uncle Pookie house, that's our spot, okay? And we put chairs, we put furniture, we'll even put babies out there to hold our spot. So you're going to need a chair, because after you shovel that snow out, you would like, does anybody else do that? I know in major cities like Philly, we don't play about a parking spot, okay? You will get got if you take my parking spot after I put a chair in there. So you're going to need a chair, Victor. You also keep your house stocked up with the necessities, because listen, anytime, no matter day, night, okay, if the weatherman say it's going to snow, everybody just get up, put their clothes on, and run to the store and get milk and bread. Now, I don't know why they need milk and bread, but you go to the store when they are predicting a blizzard. You know what, Victor? It don't even have to be a blizzard. They can say, we're going to have a little sprinkle of snow, a dusting. People still run out. So just make sure you stock with some canned goods, some stuff. You know, I meal prep, so I don't be having to worry about that. So meal prep, you might need to meal prep, Victor. And you might want to, you know, get caught up on a Purple Pants podcast, get these shows I'm watching so that you'll be covered if you get snowed in. Because sometimes we do get snowed in and you don't got to go to work. And I love it. I love a good snow day. I've got like a local bar up the street from my house. And so anytime it snows and I know I don't have to work, or sometimes I'll be thinking, that's another thing, you don't really know if they gonna give you off the night before, so it's like a party. So I go out to the local tavern, little bar, little tap house, give me a little something to eat, little cocktail, and you know, fingers crossed I don't have to work. But yeah, so those are the essentials that you will need, Victor. That's your starter, the Purple Pants Posse starter pack for winters up north. You need a shovel, you need a sad lamp, you need a foldable chair, and you need to have some bread and milk always on handy, because we just seem to, I don't understand it. Can somebody explain that to me? Why, when they say it's going to snow, y'all just run out to the grocery store and just grab everything? And mind you, I don't listen to the weather, so I could just be going to the grocery store. Listen, I just need, I don't even know what, I could need a carrot. And I got to fight through all of these people. It just ain't fair. It's just not fair. But listen, Victor, report back to me. Let me know if you know you need help with your starter pack. I might can help. What I got in this house? I might could give you a lamp you could use if you can't get a chair. Because listen, they put anything out in them parking spots. I'm trying to tell you. Anything. All right. So this next one comes from Far Away May _ or just Far Away. Either way, May, her question is, do you have any Halloween do's and don'ts and any good party stories? Whew. Well, let me tell you some do's and don'ts for the parents, okay? Listen. I had to tweet about this week. I love Halloween. I love giving out the candies, and I love to see little babies in their costumes. But it seems to be that they just knock on your door. Okay, they don't even say trick or treat. And listen, over here at the Purple Pants Palace, you got to listen. Mind you, I'll be asking the kids, okay, you want a treat? You got to do a trick. Say your ABCs, do some jumping jacks, do something. Because what's going on with these generations of kids? Like, they literally were knocking at my door and not saying nothing. And I was staring at them. They staring at me. I stare at them. Then I look to see what their daddy looked like. And I'm like, okay, if the daddy looked at, okay, all right, I'll give you some candy. You don't got to say nothing. But yeah, like, it's trick or treat. Hello. Knock, knock. Then I had some like random guy just knock on my door. He said trick or treat. I'm excuse me, sir, I need to see your ID. Okay. Now, mind you, when I was like in 12th grade, I still trick or treated. So I don't mind older teens, but not no older adult. Okay, you don't even got a dog with you, you know, because you know my mom Barb, you know, Barb took Sunshine out trick or treat. I said, mom, what, you sound crazy. No, she wanted to go trick or treat. Oh, she did? She told you she wanted to go trick or treating? And mind you, back in July, my mom is always prepared. She had ordered Sunshine's Halloween costume. So back like after July 4th, my mom is sending me photos of Sunshine as a bumblebee. And my mom's like, look at Sunshine's Halloween costume. Oh, my mom got issues. My mom need a sad lamp. Okay. So, yes. So, yeah, adults, you just can't go trick-or-treating by yourself. All right? No. Any other do's and don'ts? Listen. If you are out of Halloween candy, turn your light off and don't answer the door. Okay? So, mind you, I had some good candy this year. My neighbor, she didn't. And she ran out. But she's still sitting on her porch. Girl, go in the house. If you don't got no more candy, go in the house. Okay? Because now they're wasting time. And I feel like that's why the kids wasn't saying trick or treat. Because they probably said trick or treat to her. She's still sitting out there like, I don't have candy, guys. Love your costume. Then they get to my house and they like, what's up? You got candy? It don't work like that. So if you don't got no more candy, you out of candy, listen, go back in the house. Okay? And another thing, when I used to trick or treat, this used to get on my nerves. Don't leave a bucket out of candy and say, just take one. And, like, you just leave the bucket out and you're not even outside. Like, you know these kids will empty out that bucket. And for the next kids that's coming, okay? So I don't have no Halloween stories to tell. Some party stories. I had a really good time. I was a little nervous this Halloween about my costume because my costume was a bit much. And I knew I was going to see somebody at the party that, like, you know. And I was like, I don't know how he going to feel about this costume because my costume was a lot. But, you know, I had got a text message say, you on your way home? I was like, yeah. They was like, keep the zebra costume. Oh, say, awkward situation. We ain't going there. Next question. Oh, we got another one from After the Encore podcast on Instagram. A friend of the show, Joe Shaw. He asks, hot sauce. I love Frank's, Louisiana, and Tabasco in that order. Looking to diversify. Well, Joe, I don't know what other ways to diversify because, first of all, when I saw this, I went in my refrigerator. And that's another thing. Do y'all keep your hot sauce in the refrigerator or y'all keep it out? And do you keep your ketchup in the refrigerator? Because I know people that be like, oh, I don't like cold ketchup. I like mine's warm. But I always felt like if you open the, I don't know how we got on this topic, but I always felt like if you open the ketchup, you got to like keep it refrigerated. So, but in this house, I like my ketchup cold or I just like to keep it in the refrigerator. But anyway, after the Encore podcast, I, a.k.a. Joe Shaw, I went to my refrigerator when you posted this question. I was like, I wonder what type of hot sauce I have. And it was Frank's hot sauce. Now, full disclosure, I generally don't buy condiments like hot sauce, relish, mayonnaise. I don't buy them at the store. Full disclosure, when I go visit my mom, Barb, I generally take them from her house because John, y'all know John, my stepdad, he was in the military. And for whatever reason, they always have to have like 7 of things. Like no matter what it is, like, and they're couponers. So if John see that they got hot sauce 30 cent off, he gonna go to the store and buy 30 of them. So I generally don't buy condiments like that. I just stock up when I'm at my mom's house. Listen, I get laundry detergent. Okay, I get bleach. I get paper towels. I get hot sauce, mayonnaise, juice, everything. That's my corner store when I go to my mom's house. But I will have to say that hot sauce is one of the things that's like, condiments just are not in my budget. So if I'm ever at a dollar store, and it's whatever the dollar store, okay? I believe one time I just had hot sauce that said hot sauce. But I do like Frank's Hot. I do like Louisiana, and I do like Tabasco. However, Tabasco sauce to me is like a little, that's not hot sauce to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just tastes a little like different. But I mean, if it's on sale, if that's what Barb and John got, then that's what I got. Okay. So, whew, chile. Then we have Whiskey Tales on Instagram. Any good stories when you traveled abroad for your birthday? Oh, hi, y'all. Like, yo, okay, Purple Pants Posse. So last year, or this year, because it still was 2019 for my birthday, I went to Iceland. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I love Iceland. The Blue Laguna, amazing. I don't really got no crazy stories. I had one with one of my good friends, T-Money Travis. We went to Iceland. But a crazy story was, so we flew into Iceland. And mind you, first of all, prepare for the weather because Iceland is cold. And mind you, you know me, when I travel, I like to, had travel outfits. So my travel outfit, I brought a winter coat, but I had packed it in my bag because, like, you know, travel outfit, I think the plane ride wasn't really that long to Iceland. We flew out of JFK. It was like 8 hours. Or actually, I think it was shorter than that. It was like 6.5-7 hours. So, you know, I wanted to be cute while I was on that plane. So we got off, and basically to go to the rental car place, we had to leave the airport and go to this like bus stop to wait for the bay. The wind at 5 a.m. in Iceland was blowing. Okay, my little track suit was not covering it. So anyway, my friend, like Spencer from Kagyan, he had went to Iceland. So I had asked him for some advice for traveling. And he was like, you definitely want to rent a car because you can travel to all of the places that you want to go to while you're in Iceland. Now, there's a lot of like Groupons and like these bus tours that you can take to go see all the waterfalls. And they're really, really cheap. And like, you know, you can learn a lot of history on them. But I ain't for getting on a bus with 20 other people, having to wait for them to get off, for them to take their photos and get back on. So Spencer was like, rent a car. So I was like, okay, we're going to rent a car. So we rented a car and we're driving to our Airbnb. And Bay, again, it's like 6 a.m. now. The sun just coming up and whew, the snow. It was so windy and cold. The snow was not falling up and down. The snow was going left and right. Like, we could barely see. It was so crazy. And my job was like, well, Travis, this is my birthday, so you got to drive. You got to drive to the Airbnb. So that was a crazy story. Driving in Iceland, just landing, being freezing cold in the little tracksuit in this car, thinking you're going to die. Because literally, like, and we had to pull over a couple of times. And there wasn't a lot of places to pull over. And we got all these cars behind us. And we going 10 miles per hour. Because, listen, I ain't trying to die in nobody's Iceland. You hear me? All right. And then our next Purple Pants picks comes from down. This one a little hard. It's like Yurita Berto on Instagram says, do you believe in aliens? Well, that is, listen, when I was in 11th grade, I took an astrology class, Dr. Deacon. And we learned about, you know, the solar system. We learned about the universe. We learned about the galaxies. And we learned about how big outer space is. The fact that we cannot even grasp how big things are, even traveling at light speed, we could not even, you know, this is just our universe that we're in, and our galaxy is relatively small compared to the other bigger galaxies that are out there. And so when I remember in that class and just learning how big outer space is, I always was saying to myself, like, the probability that we're the only life form is just so small, because I just feel like we haven't even seen what's out there. So do I believe in aliens? I mean, I'd say yes, in the sense that alien is something that's like not from this earth, and something, another life form that's outside of this earth. If that's what we're considering aliens, absolutely. The probability is just too big. When I was taking my astrology class with Dr. Dingus, and y'all got to understand, like, we, like, it's just so much space. Okay. It's an awkward situation out there. Like, and we're traveling at the speed of light, and we can barely get outside our galaxy. Okay, think about the Milky Way. Ooh, I kind of want a Snickers. Okay, sorry. I do though. Okay, and I didn't give out all my Halloween candy. Okay, after a while, I just shut the door. So I got a Snickers too. So I want a Snickers. Anyway, what was I saying? The galaxies. Like, yeah. So I do believe that there are life forms out there, and I'm not just talking life forms like plants and like we know that. No, I believe the probability is just too big. Like, we, like, so what are the chances that we're just the only like, you know, extraterrestrial, only smart? I don't believe it. I believe that there's other ones out there. Now, will we come in contact with them? I don't know. Do I want to come in contact with them? Probably not. Okay. But yeah, I absolutely believe that there are other life forms out there. Let me know what y'all think. All right. So that's the Purple Pants picks this week. And just so you're aware, I try to post it up either Thursday or Friday. I post to my Instagram story the Purple Pants pick. So if you got a Purple Pants pick you want to submit, please hit me up in the DM and I got you. Or you can just email me, purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of emailing me at purplepantspodcast.com, we got an advice with Bryce this week. Now, this one is a good one because I absolutely can relate to this one. Now, how I handled it may not be the best, but yes. So I got an advice with Bryce from Elizabeth_Jane_B this week. And it reads, so let me get it together. Hey Bryce, I'm a teacher at a preschool. I love my students. My co-teacher is amazing, and we've been doing amazing things in our classroom since we started there about 6 months ago. The teachers in the older classrooms have been a problem. They act privileged. They act like they're in charge of the whole school. They tell us when kids are moving into a classroom before management has made any decisions. They reorganize and move things in our classrooms when we are not there. They also yell at our students without really knowing them and building a relationship with them. One of them has a daughter-in-law in their classroom, but she was first with me in the morning. The other teacher recently schooled her for getting a sticker from me for going to potty. She's not even 3 yet. It is becoming a problem. It is a contributing factor into our general negative vibe at our school. I want to talk to my boss, but I don't know how to approach the conversation without sounding like a beep that can't get along with her coworkers. I also don't think anything will change, even if I say something. What do I do, Bryce? Elizabeth. So I can, first of all, y'all know my background is I went to school for education. I wanted to be an elementary school teacher before I got into social work. And I actually taught in a classroom for maybe about a year and a half. And I didn't really like being trapped in a classroom. I felt like my personality was not my personality, but I felt like I was doing more for the students. I was, you know, in my classroom, I was bringing in lunches. I was bringing in, you know, at the time I was told you I was Al Bundy putting myself through school. I was bringing in shoes for kids. I was bringing in paper. And I just felt like maybe I could be more effective in the community. And that's kind of sort of how I made the transition to social work. However, I remember being in a school, and I remember it's like any job, it's like high school. You've got like the mean kids, you got like the people that know each other, very clicky. So I remember, like, you know, having a principal and having to report to the principal and having to report to our team leaders and all of that stuff. So it's bringing back memories to me. And so I think that it's important. First of all, I hear exactly what you're saying. And it's a negative vibe and a negative energy at your workplace is not fun, not annoying, makes you not want to come to school, makes you not want to go to work. And obviously, it sounds like, Elizabeth, you love your job. You and your co-teacher have been doing great things. It's something that you want to do. It's something that you enjoy. It's obviously your passion. And so I think that it is important for you to address this issue. However, I don't think going to your boss right away is the best thing to do. I know that, you know, working in just any office field or just having coworkers or relationships, it is important to try to resolve the problem in a professional way. So by that being said, you know, you're saying that they are moving things in your classroom without your permission. Okay, so that needs to be addressed. They are scolding your kids, or they're scolding someone from getting praise from you. That needs to be addressed. And just the negative, clicky energy. So, number one, I think that, you know, you should send them an email and say, like, hey, is there a possible... And first of all, listen, anytime and anything in work, I always think that it is important for you guys to have a paper trail, because he said, she said, and then there is what is documented. So I absolutely think that you should have a conversation with this teacher, and maybe pull them aside, like, hey, do you, like, on one of your prep classes, or, you know, during lunch, and just say, address it, like, hey, and address it head on. Don't beat around the bush, like, you know. Let them know, like, hey, I don't appreciate when you move things in my classroom. If you need anything, like, let me know and I'll be glad to help, or, you know, loan you something like that. You know, always, I think, again, and when you are confronting people, I always think that it's great to start with a positive, so you're not just going negative. So, hey, like, I really like the things in your classroom. You know, just even if you're going to make something up, a little white lie, I think it's just always kind of goes good way. Hey, I like this and that, but I just noticed that you guys had moved some things in my classroom, and I was just wondering if you know, we spend a lot of time and everything has a place, and so it kind of really disrupts my lesson when I'm looking for something and it's gone. So if you ever need anything, like, just let me know and I absolutely can provide it for you. Address it with her. The issue with her scolding at a student, like, yeah, you know, as a teacher, we got to be advocates for these kids, and if you are praising a child for, you know, doing something great, then let them know. However, she could feel some type of way about you. She could already have a system, and she's like, you know, you are kind of like stepping on her toes. So I feel like communication is great. So approaching that situation, after you say something to them, follow up with the email. Okay. Hey, teacher, boom, 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 boom. Thanks so much for the conversation that we had earlier. I thought that was really productive, you know, about not moving things in my classroom. If you ever need anything, you know, let me know. And about, like, the scolding the other kids. So that way, listen, there is a documented trail that you have tried to rectify it yourself. If the problem consists and they are still continue to do things like that, I will, again, try to address it with myself, because obviously we are adults, and in the work environments, we should be able to handle things, you know, beyond, like, you, we should be able to handle things. And after your second attempt, if you find that things are still not going how they are, then at that point in time, I feel like that you should be able to bring it to management. However, when you bring this issue to management, you can say, like, listen, there have been some things that I've noticed that I've been uncomfortable with. I didn't want to bring it to you. I tried to resolve it first. You gotta forward the emails, let them know, like, hey, this is what I did, and these are some of the things. And also, like, you know, this is a learning environment. Like, you know, the energy can't be negative. And I think that the work environment sometimes is like a taboo place. Like, you know, people walk around with, like, no, that's not cool. And you can address it. And you can even say to the principal, like, I really would like a working relationship with these people. So I don't know how you choose to address it, but I would like it to be more general. Than just singling me out. And so that way, maybe the principal can address it. And again, following up with that principal after you have that conversation in writing to see whether or not they handle it. If they don't handle it, bring it back up to them again. Forward the same email again. You know, hey, Just wanted to bring your attention to this. And if that doesn't work, then listen, you might gotta go to the superintendent. You might, like, you know, you might have to go to the chain, but it definitely can and will be handled. It's just how you choose to approach it. And I think a simple conversation with the teachers could try to maybe resolve it. Maybe even going out of your way to, you know, I always feel like do unto others like you want to be done. Maybe going out of your way and doing something nice for that teacher, because you never know what they could be going through at home. They could be dealing with something. And, like, you know, you being extending that olive branch to them really could go a long way and could resolve it. If it doesn't, you know, follow up with that paper trail. Take it to the principal, but in a constructive way, and come up with some solutions with the principal. Just don't go there like, I'm just complaining about something and I don't like it. Like, you know, go there with something constructive that, like, you know, and this is something that's on you, Elizabeth. It's like, what would you like to change? And if you could change it, how would you change it? Ask yourself those questions so that when you are going to the principal and you're going with these things, you're not only going with like, hey, this is the issue, but you're also saying like, hey, this is how I feel like we could resolve it. Maybe the school needs to do some team building exercises. You know, we had in service days where the kids would be off and the teachers would have to come and still be at school. There's a way for you guys to do team building exercises. There's a way for you guys to get to know each other more. So it definitely can be resolved by the principal. If you don't feel like the principal is handling it, and after you exhausted your options, then you got to take it to the next level, because at the end of the day, Elizabeth, you're there teaching our future, and it's important for you to have a healthy, safe, and fun work environment. Don't nobody want nobody touching their stuff. Don't nobody want them yelling at the kid. Like, that's not cool, and that needs to be addressed. And unfortunately, you as a teacher, you got to be an advocate for yourself just as much as you are for the kids. So you got to, you know, bring it to them. But, you know, start off small. Start off by just addressing the person respectfully, you know, and follow up with that email, girl. But listen, Elizabeth, keep me posted. I want to know how this works out. And if you need, let me know if you need me to pull up to that school, okay? It might be an awkward situation, but listen, we gonna handle it, because you doing right with you and your co-teacher with these babies, teaching them how to get it together. The ABC, 1, 2, 3, oh, and yes. So that is Advice with Bryce this week. You guys know, if you need any advice with Bryce, I am available. purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. And ooh, baby boy, it looks like we are at the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting me. I am Bryce Isaiah, your host, and you already know what time it is. If you have not already, if you could subscribe to this podcast, if you give me a rate, write a review, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, tell your co-teacher to tell another teacher, and tell them other people that's taking stuff out your desk, maybe they should listen to the Purple Pants podcast and they could stop doing what they doing. But y'all already know, it's a
Purple Pants, it's a Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.